It's The Naked Scientists, Chris Smith and Dave Ansell, and our guests this week, James Logan and Tony Hooper. They're from Rothamsted Research, talking about how smells can be used to manipulate the behaviour of insects. Now, Diana, do you get made a meal of by mosquitoes very often?
They love to eat me, they really do. I think I do emit those chemicals, I think.
But talking of eating things and eating breakfast?
Well, if you put earplugs in your ears and eat lots of noisy food, then apparently something like this happens.
My name is Bullfrog, and I'm calling from Illinois in the USA. I noticed that at times when I'd put earplugs in to deaden sound from outside, that worked really well, but then the sounds inside my head, they seemed a lot louder. Like chewing or humming or even breathing was really loud. And then I noticed listening to podcasts with the earbud-style headphones in my ears that I couldn't chew breakfast cereal and hear at the same time, whereas if I'm listening to a conversation without anything in my ears, it's very easy to hear and eat at the same time. So I was wondering, why is it when you have earplugs in or headphones like that, are the sounds from inside your head so much louder?
So what makes your cornflakes so much louder when you try to block out the usual morning noise?
I'm Trevor Cox, and I'm Professor of Acoustic Engineering at the University of Salford. So why is it that when you listen to yourself when you've got earplugs in, you sound very different, and all the sounds of munching and crunching sound very different if you eat something? When I'm speaking here, I'm not just hearing the sound coming out of my mouth, going round the side of the head and going down my ear canal. I'm also hearing my bones vibrating. It's called bone conduction. So when my vocal folds are opening and closing, when the air in my mouth is resonating, the sound is also passing through my head to my ears and being picked up as sound. So that when you block the outside pass by sticking in things like earplugs, all you can hear is the bone conduction. And actually you've got something also happening called the occlusion effect. Because you've got an earplug in, you've got a little resonant cavity in the ear canal. So actually you get a little boost towards the top of speech around 2000 hertz. And that also means that certain sounds are amplified as well.
So the occlusion effect makes noise travel along your bones rather than the air, but once it does find some air, it resonates and gets louder in the small cavity created by your ear-plugging device.
My name's Dr. Daniel Rowan, and I'm an audiologist at the Institute of Sound and Vibration Research at the University of Southampton. In terms of an answer for the phenomenon, it's probably related to a well-known phenomenon called the occlusion effect. All sounds generated within the body, such as during mastication or talking, are transmitted all around the body by the body tissues, particularly the bone. And that sort of sound escapes, if you will, into the air-filled cavities of the body, including the ear canals. Now, the sounds in the ear canals usually follows the line of least resistance and comes out of the ear canals rather than going into the eardrum and into the inner ear. But when you plug your ear canal up with your finger, then that sound goes into your eardrum, into the cochlea, making things sound louder. In acoustical terms, the increase in the amount of sound that gets into your inner ear can be as much as 1,000 times, but in terms of how loudness we perceive it, it can be 5 times as loud or even more. And this is a particular problem with people who wear hearing aids, because having the hearing aid in the ear canal can make the sound of their own voice uncomfortable. And so that's sort of one problem that occurs through it.
So the sound waves end up bouncing around in your cochlea and generally causing havoc once they have left your skull.
And on our forum, TechMind came up with the same answer as our experts, and also Turnip Sock mentioned the habit of singers who put their fingers in their ears so they can hear their own voice.
So moving on from headbones anyway, here's a question on something a little more paleological.
Hello, I'm Bert Lattimore. I'm from Virginia in the United States. And my question concerns dinosaur ages. Somewhere I heard that the big plant-eating dinosaurs could live up to 1,000 years. On another program or podcast, I heard that tyrannosaurs only lived 20 to 30 years, which seems very brief for such a big animal. So I'd like to know, how long did the big dinosaurs live, those individual dinosaurs, and how can you tell from a fossil how long that animal lived?
And following dinosaurs, I'll be investigating something a little less of this earth.
Hello, I'm Jesus Zafra from Neja, Spain, and this is my question. Knowing the possibility of life somewhere in a star like our sun, do we have any possibility of communication with our nearest stars? What kind of device will be used? Thank you very much. Bye.
In short, if we were to find life around a nearby star, what technology would we need to contact them? So how can we give an age to something that's been dead for more than 65 million years? And how do we build an antenna for alien messaging? They might have mobile phones, you never know. Send your answers to questionoftheweek@thenakedscientist.com or join the debate on our forum at thenakedscientist.com/forum.
You've learned the answer to that, Diana, because then you can contact your relatives, can't you?
Ha-ha.
The Naked Scientist Podcast, brought to you by thenakedscientist.com.